In today's quest, learn why it is not a good idea to break the protection of sanctuary during the Middle Ages. This is the Quest for Power. Welcome back, everybody, to the Quest for Power, where we rank and review all of European monarchs from the early Middle Ages to World War I. And like always, my name is Scott, and my co-host is...
I am Michael.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. This is episode 4, and I do not know who we're reviewing because we left off with an empty throne. We've had a lot of chaos, so... We're going to get to that in a second, but instead of history, we're going to talk about modern history, specifically our history. All right, Michael, what have you been up to?
Well, I've been writing scripts today, and then yesterday we had a profitable spree of plundering on video games.
Yeah, Sea of Thieves is a joy for being just a pirate themed chat room a lot of the time. We didn't do really plundering, but yeah, between that and my limited use of hands since I decided to take a tumble and my hand has lost significant amount of skin. So we're having a ball.
Yeah, real successful week so far.
Yeah, we're on a roll. So yeah. All in all, can't complain too much.
That's always good. Yeah, we're here on a Friday night. How great.
Isn't it Saturday?
Oh, it is Saturday. Wow, you can tell where my headspace is today.
Yeah, well, we can fix that. We're going to get our brains all very nice, fine, focused, and sharpened on some good old historical knowledge. So... segueing back to that side, who are we going to be talking about? Because we just had a hell of a time with I almost said Alaric Atal and his struggle with standing up to his brother's precedent, and he got the good old stabby stab.
Yeah. We're going to have quite a bit of backstabbing. That was the first signature backstabbing we had this so far. Today, we are going to have a man named Sigaric of House Amali. He is the brother of Saras, who, if you remember last episode, Altof ambushed him when he had 10,000 people and Saras had 20 people.
Yeah, the one where he left his followers just chill with him, right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. So we get the brother of him is on this week. It's kind of interesting because it is the House Amali. We've been following the Balti dynasty. So we have a chance of switching dynasties on us. However, before we get started, we don't have crap for sources. The only reason we have a fragment of this guy's reign is Olympiodorus's work and our favorite Victorian Edward Gibbon.
Nothing like a good old Victorian bias to color our historical palettes.
That is going to be a lot of sources, because that's when the history, like the study of history we have today, really took place, was Victorian England, when they kind of piece things together. Anyway, Sigaric's house, if you could not tell, are big rivals to Alaric's house of Balti. It's kind of like Lancaster and York during the War of the Roses, or Game of Thrones reference. That's gonna be a drinking game. It is like the difference between the Starks and the Lannisters. They hate each other.
I'll have to bring a bottle here for some some shots the next time you start making a Game of Thrones reference.
Yeah, you're going to get drunk really quick. Well, immediately upon Atolf's death, the Amali faction broke the Gothic tradition of voting in a new leader of the Visigoths and put Sigaric on the throne. those who are students of history or who have been watching House of the Dragon drink, it's usually pretty volatile when traditions are broken. Succession is everything in these times. If there is no clear succession, all hell breaks loose. It happens time and time again. So even dumb and unfair traditions such as primogeniture, where it's the firstborn son gets the rule, it just ensures more peaceful of power. There are less people dead because of it, unfortunately. There's no good way of doing things in these times.
Well, again, the stability is super paramount, right? It doesn't matter necessarily if you're the best ruler, because if there's just a lot of uncertainty, then there's a fair chance that the best ruler won't make it to the throne anyways. So I can understand, especially when things were, I don't know, quote unquote, simpler, that you would default to this. Because, I mean, look, think about today with like U.S. elections, right, where things get all up in the air. And like, yeah, we have very peaceful transitions of power, all things considered, at least if you look at all the advertisements out there, it feels a lot less proper than what you might expect.
Yes. Now think about that. So imagine that. So the equivalent of this is we have our election, a new person comes in power and they say no, and they have military behind them. That is what just happened here. So you can imagine all hell breaking loose, and it is terrifying to even think about, especially with modern day weapons and stuff. And for the average person, you don't care what games the nobles are playing. So Theodred, you know, the farmer, he doesn't care whether it's Atulf, whether it's Alaric, whether it's Sigaric. He just wants to have security. And in these times when there is no security, I mean, it is, barbarians are raging everywhere. You have robbers, you have the fights between Rome and other factions. There's not many times in history I would not want to live in. This is one of the big ones that I just, no thank you.
We just crossed the mountains into Spain. This person, Sigaric, better not be telling us to move. That's it. We're going back to Italy.
So we talked about how important stability is. Sigaric thought, you know what? I agree. We need to have stability. He learned from Atulf's mistake and to keep those around who threaten his reign. Atulf had about 6 children. He had quite a bit of children from Alaric's sister, his first wife, not Gala. Well, he had them arrested. You know, that's probably good, as heartbreaking as it is for us who enjoyed Atulf last week, as much as we made fun of him. You know, you do need to get rid of the pawns of your reign. Otherwise, you're not going to live very long. The issue with that is they were claiming sanctuary under the protection of a high venerable bishop. Do you know what medieval sanctuary is, Scott? Have you ever heard of it before?
It sounds vaguely familiar, but more or less it sounds like that they're just running off to their local religious powerhouse and saying, hey, protect me.
It's essentially correct. So this is such a weird thing to think about. You could do anything. You could murder someone, you could commit high treason, and then you just need to make a beeline and run to the church. The minute you hit there, it's like a safe zone. No one can touch you. No one can harm you or arrest you as long as you're under the protection of the church. And the reason this works is because everyone from the kings all the way down to the peasants have the fear of God. If you are touching that church or anyone in that church, you are effectively desecrating a shrine. That's why it works. And because of that, for some reason, most of the nobles completely abide by these rules. It is pretty much understood you're going straight to hell if you break this sacred pact. It is the equivalent, of desecrating a holy place in the eyes of the church. And the church has so much power. We cannot describe that enough, because today it just doesn't. We can't even get in the mindset of these people where it just had so much sway over their every single thought during their day, during their lives.
For sure. And I think that the sanctuary, even if you are a believer or not, because I'm sure there are plenty of people who were not so religiously affected back then, because there are all kinds of people. But I think it's also important from a political standpoint too, because if you don't respect those rules and it becomes your turn to be under sanctuary, you're going to want some semblance of a guarantee that you're going to be respected and protected to some degree. I don't know if they ever turn away people on sanctuary. Like, I know that you have to do something pretty atrocious and usually against the church to probably be turned away if it ever happened, but
I'm sure there are times in history that that has happened. I cannot think of one off the top of my head that comes to mind. I can think of several times that this was ignored, that sanctuary was ignored, especially during the War of the Roses. It was both used and ignored. So it's just such a interesting thing. Especially like when I was talking about the War of the Roses, Queen Elizabeth Woodville in the war, who we will get to way later, she even gave birth in a sanctuary when the king at that time claimed power. Like, it is such a valuable tool. But if like what he's doing here is essentially, you know, the rules of, like, let's say a board game, and you just got the rules changed on you. The problem is board game is life or death.
Well, you flip the table, and that's the benefits and pitfalls of mixing politics and religion.
Yeah, that's correct. So despite being protected under this, Sigrid's first action, according to Gibbon, was the inhuman murder of Atulf's 6 children from his first wife. Gibbon continues, whom he tore without pity from the feeble arms of a venerable bishop. So not great, not a good look to start out your reign, to be prying a child from a holy man.
Not getting those big religious points from us today.
No, he is not. I think if I could give him negative points, I would. In addition to that, Gibbons says, as for Atulf's widow, Galla Placidia, the daughter of the Roman Emperor Theodosius, said she was treated with cruel and wanton insult by being forced to walk more than 12 miles on foot among a crowd of barbarian captives driven ahead by the mounted Sigarek. So he probably was just insulting her and mocking her whole time. That had to be just one of the worst things ever. Your husband dies and now you are at the mercy of this horrific man.
It's really rough because you're a noble, and I feel like this is just something you always have to keep in the back of your head at all times. There is no truly safe moment, and apparently even sanctuary not a safe place either. So we're just having a rough point here, but I guess that's why this is not called the Era of Enlightenment here.
Yeah, this is probably why they call it the Dark Ages. However, his cruel reign came to an abrupt end when he was assassinated a mere 7 days after he ascended the throne. That is going to be a record for a long time, if not the record. That is an insane short time to hold a reign, to actually be called king.
I was just getting invested in him.
So back to the Balti dynasty, named Wallia was elected as king to occupy the empty throne. So they have restored the order of things. That, kids, is why you don't break the sacred rite of sanctuary. That's all I got on Sigarek. There's nothing else on him. His reign is characterized by 2 things: murdering children from sanctuary and being horrible to the widow Galla. That's it.
I guess that's divine retribution.
Are you ready to raid him?
Yeah, we got so much to work with.
Yeah, it's going to be a really quick episode here. Alrighty, How did he play the real Game of Thrones?
He's an all-star for 7 days. No, he is garbage.
He is so bad. There's no words for how bad this is. Like, he just, the 7 days he had were not good either. So
he broke religious stuff, which I know is a religious passion thing, but the fact that that's all he's got, really.
Yeah.
You want to give a ranking?
Do we need to give a ranking to him? What's your ranking for him? How many points does he get for the real Game of Thrones?
Ugh, if you're talking just like politics, you know, he gets, I guess, like maybe a 2, because he did do the good old knife. He probably ordered the killing of Atolf, it feels like to me. I know that's not that what we didn't state that, but it feels like it in my heart of hearts that he had to have been involved. Maybe
you would think he would have to be involved. Yeah, I doubt it that he wasn't part of that.
A 1 or a 2, because he's done at least something. He's get something above a 0. I'll give him a 1.
You know, I was going to give him a 0 and just move on, but you're right on the whole. He did usurp the throne, and despite it not lasting very long, that's something that not many people can do in the Game of Thrones. And he was named king. I mean, we're not going to give it points to everyone just because they're named king, but he made himself king. He didn't just walk into it. So yeah. I guess, yeah, I'm going to have to give him 1 on that, but I almost want to subtract into the negatives because he couldn't hold it for long at all. He was assassinated immediately. So I'm actually going to have to go 0. We'll give him, you can give him the points, but no, after I think about it, it's a 0.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to judge someone, you know. Do you say, oh, it's right up to the point where they became king? Or do you start the timer when they become king?
Here's the problem. We don't know up to the time we have king. Otherwise, I think when we start doing this stuff, I think we can give people points for the timer before they become king. To me, we're ranking the character themselves, not so much
the
reign that they did. It's more the person. Because I find people more interesting than just their reign. And he entered the written record of usurping the throne and exited very quickly out of the record when he was assassinated.
Well, that gives us a total of 1 point. 1 for me, none for you. He's on a roll.
Doing solid. This next category is his category. How mischievous did this man get up to for royal mischief?
He wasted no time in breaking sacred traditions. 2 sacred traditions. The stabbing and the religious sanctuary.
Yeah, I would have to say, yeah, he murdered 6 innocent people. I mean, they're kind of innocent, kind of not, but yeah, he was cruel to the widowed queen consort, and broke sanctuary, and he usurped the throne. That's 3 things.
He is a mischievous boy, but...
He is a very mischievous boy.
Not enough time to do more.
That's the problem, is we just don't have a big enough data collection, a big enough sample to know like his character and stuff, but just the fact of what this was written. Now remember, these histories were written by the Balti dynasty, not the Amali dynasty he was a part of, so they're going to only highlight the cruel things he did. I still have to give him high points. How much are you going to give them?
Well, I'd say just on the side point, they're not going to have much good stuff to say about him anyways. It's 7 days. What's he going to do? Pass healthcare reform? Like, I
mean, that is true.
This wasn't a New Deal kind of warlord. So
that is true.
I think in terms of royal mischief, he's very mischievous for his time. I think I gotta give him at least a good few points, because this is all he's ever gonna get. So he might as well get something. But also, it's good. I'll give him like a 6, right? He's mischievous for his time. He had the bombasticness in his short 7 days lead, and I guess a little before leading up to his rule. So this is all he gets.
I think because of the fact his reign from the written record is only bad things, like things that are considered mischievous, I'm going to have to give him a little bit higher. I'll go 7 points.
Okay. All right. Good job. 6 and 7, 13. That's about as high as it's going to get.
That's pretty high. That's really good for a category, though. That's pretty high up there.
Okay.
Religious passion. No.
Just... Religion what?
Yeah, religious passion. I don't think that. No. He's got a fast pass to hell. I mean, that's the best I can offer. I'm going 0.
Yeah, that's not even a conversation. 0. For a total of 0.
Is that our first 0?
Yes, because I think in the past, we've given you, someone, a 0. Oh, I lied. Atolf got a 0 for stability.
Oh,
and yeah. Religious passion. Look at that.
Oh, that's right, because he didn't. That's unfortunate that Atolf's religious passion is not the same, is the same exact as Sigurd's, but... We're not going to go on the negatives.
Yeah. We're already so far below even Atolf's reign here. I can't imagine him getting much more points than this. So.
Yeah. Well, the next thing he can get points for, and it's not really based on how great or whatever you did, it's character alignment. What are you going to, as a DM, what would you consider him to be?
I'd say chaotic evil. It feels that nature. He goes and stabs and violates various traditions and then proceeds to parade them around, kind of. It's not, I'm not going to mince words here too much. He parades around his victims too, in addition to killing the rest. There is no great non-chaotic things. Nothing lawful about this man.
Yeah, correct. I would have to agree. To me, he's like the DM made out this big grand campaign of him being the big evil guy, and then an overpowered paladin came up, rolled a nat 20, and divine smited him off the face of the earth, because that I think that's the best way of describing what just happened.
Well, we can tone down the pep talk for your character here. But yes, the concept sticks.
Sorry, it was the best thing I could describe in the nerd language. All right, yeah, I'll go chaotic evil. So that's a full 5 points for me and for you.
I hate this already. Just for reference, I'm already just comparing points. There's no way this man should be equal to Atolf, because he's getting close.
Oh, no. All right. Next section, stability.
0. This man gets nothing.
Nothing. You can't do anything in 7 days.
Get out of here.
Alrighty. Next section. Dynasty.
0.
Zero. Yeah. No. Nothing.
I like Atolf, and Sigurd is...
Is he dangerously close? Is that why?
Yeah. This is partially bias at work, but... Also, it's bias, and I think also it may say something about our scaling. So,
we are if nothing but consistent from episode to episode, and we're gonna stay this consistent.
We'll tool it in.
Yeah, we'll figure it out eventually. Yeah, you can't give him anything. I will, yeah, zero.
Yeah, it's true. I guess we're rating people on how interesting they are as human beings, not necessarily were they productive.
Correct, yeah. He's an interesting man. For as short as he lived, he is fascinating.
All right, well, since we've been circling around the discussion, I guess you want to know the totals.
Yes, I do want to know the totals.
We actually gave an exact same amount of 12 and 12 for 24, which is 1 point shy of Atoll for your reference. And
wow.
Because we're only a few episodes in, we can give the backtrack. So Sigarek being 24, Atoll being 25, and then Alaric being 50, if I recall.
I enjoy that jump.
56, I lied. So, yeah, I was about to be really upset if Sigarek got even close to my boy Atolf.
So, should he be the High King, demoted to a lesser lord, or burned on the pyre?
Wow, he even gets... He's worthy of being burned on the pyre? Wow.
Oh, yeah, let's set this man on fire. I mean, he needs to be... But it needs to be one of those, like, fires that, like, it's a slow burning one where the flames just tickle his feet for a while. He needs something like that for the true depths of hell to meet him.
Calm down, German fairy tale. Like, yeah, no, he's pretty rotten.
All right, then. We will set the man on fire.
Yep. Burner!
Burner! Burner! We need a sound effect of fire. So one thing I must note is that in some lists, Sigarek does not even appear on part of the succession of Visigothic kings because he's not a Balting and his rule is more treated like a usurpation, which it really was. Since today's episode is really short, we will publish the next King's episode tomorrow for you to enjoy. We thank you for coming along on our quest for power. I know it was a quick little mini side quest, if you will. If you liked our story, please tell a friend or family member and let us grow this podcast so we continue to provide you with assassinations and poor decision making by all of our rulers. Our continued thanks for the Rex Factor family of podcasts for your inspiration. It is so much fun to listen to those episodes and your podcasts and your stories. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, please message us on Facebook. Let us know what you think of Sigarek. Do you think we were too harsh on him? Did he not deserve to be put to the torch? If you do disagree, that's okay, but I beg to differ. Well, we'll see you tomorrow for next episode for Walia. Until next time, the king is dead.
Long live the king.